welcome to the Exploring Unschooling podcast. I'm Pam Larickia, unschooling mom and author, bringing you interviews, information, and inspiration about unschooling and living joyfully with your family. You can find the episode show notes, your free Exploring Unschooling ebook, and lots more information at livingjoyfully.ca. And here's the show. Hello, everyone. I'm Pam Larickia, and this is episode number 12 of the podcast, and it's the 23rd of March, 2016, as I record this intro. In this episode, I talk to Itzy Desmarais, a 25-year-old grown unschooler and author of the blog, I'm Unschooled, Yes, I Can Write. We had a wonderful chat where we talked about unschooling days, her relationship with her parents, college, and the advice she has for unschooling parents just starting out on this journey. But first, a quick update on life around here. Last Friday was an extra happy day for me as I was accepted into what I suspect will be a wonderful creative mastermind group. I've mentioned here and there over the years that I wrote my first book, Free to Learn, with the idea of summarizing our unschooling experience and moving on. But what it actually did was reignite my love for writing and stories. That was back in 2012, and since then, I've slowly explored the idea of being a writer, finding online writing communities that mesh well with me, with my personality, and the way I like to learn. And now I'm ready to develop a full-fledged author business, and was thrilled when the opportunity to engage with this particular community, which I've followed for years, showed up. As for the rest of the crew, recently Michael's been having lots of fun playing around with the guitar, and last week I got to hear a cover song that he recorded. I actually thought he'd recorded himself singing to a track that he grabbed somewhere else, but no, he said that was actually him playing. Pretty cool. And lately, Joseph and Rocco have been talking at length about U.S. politics, not so much about the parties, but diving into the election process and the varying media coverage. That's fascinating stuff. And Lissy's been in L.A. visiting with friends, one of whom she's collaborating with on a monthly creative project this year, combining music and images around a theme. She said she's having a great time. And now for our quote of the week. This week, I thought it would be appropriate to share a quote of Itzy's. She writes, "The act of placing the power over learning and life into the individual's hands is both empowering and motivating. The motivation people see in unschoolers is really a joy in learning that is seen far less often among the masses in school. The zest for life that unschoolers of all ages bring to their days is often one of the first things that people new to unschooling notice. Their joy in learning is also one of the hardest things for them to wrap their heads around at first. It's just not something they see in the majority of children who've been to school for a few years. They've lost that spark." We talk about this more in the interview, so let's get started. And if you'd like to join the conversation, head on over to livingjoyfully.ca/podcast and share in the comments for episode 12. Hi, everyone. I'm Pam Larickia, and today I'm speaking with Itzy Desmarais. Hi, Itzy.
Hello.
And happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
I've known Itzy's mom online for many years and watched as Itzy started her blog, I'm Unschooled, Yes, I Can Write, way back in 2008. In 2010, when I was hosting the Toronto Unschooling Conference, I asked her if she'd be interested in speaking. I was thrilled when she agreed, and she spoke in both 2010 and 2011. Her Tuck Talks are available for free on my website. I'll put a link in the show notes. So it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yay! So to start off, can you share a bit with us about you and your family?
Well, yeah, I'm now 25-year-old living in the Montreal area with my family. This is where me and my sister, who's 2.5 years younger than me, grew up, and where my family unschooled. And yeah, I don't know what you want to hear more about or...
No, just to basically give people an idea. So the four of you you're living together, right?
We are at this point, yes.
And a menagerie of animals.
And a menagerie of animals, yes.
So one of the questions I wanted to ask was what your family's move to unschooling looked like.
Okay, well, I started out in kindergarten, but it didn't last very long. I was there for a few months and I was okay with it, but there was some trouble with other children making strange phone calls to the house, just some stuff that ended up being disciplinary issues, ended up being something that was, I think, made an impact on my parents. And my mother, she'd always been interested in homeschooling. My father was a little more hesitant, but that was enough for them both to sort of get more on the same page and feel like, okay, maybe we should give this homeschooling thing a try. And it started out as a relaxed homeschooling sort of approach. And over the years, it just kind of became a natural transition into unschooling. My mother always had the sort of strong idea that people would learn things when they were ready to learn them, and sort of a very enthusiastic and flexible approach to how she saw learning. So I think it became a very natural transition for my family.
Oh, that sounds awesome. So then how about we peek a few years in when your family was more comfortable with unschooling? What did your days generally look like?
I always kind of have some trouble with this problem. I try and look back. I'm like, what did days look like? They were so different.
Yeah.
So that's always the first thing. But in general, there was always a lot to do with words and with stories in my house. My parents have both always been avid readers. And so I think my sister and I just sort of, we definitely picked that up, and we'd play word games together and we'd read aloud to each other and we'd write poetry and stories. And just that was always a big thing. So we'd do that together. We were involved in a local homeschool co-op off and on over the years. So sometimes there were various classes that me and my sister had chosen to participate in. I don't know, there were always projects going on, always crafts. It really depended. It's hard to come up with a, this is what a day looked like.
But really it was about, just whatever you guys were interested in.
Very much so.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Now, for many years, I have wondered why people just seem to accept that the strained parent-child dynamic, like we so often see in books and movies and TV shows when, adult children go home for holidays and vacations, we accept that that's normal. So I was curious if you could share a bit about what your relationship with your parents was like growing up and how it's like now, because I suspect they're probably pretty similar.
Yeah, that they are very similar. my father used to like joking in our teenage years that me and my sister would never rebel because we had nothing to rebel against. And I've always thought that's pretty accurate. I had a really good relationship with my parents. And while sometimes it was closer than others with one or the other of them, it was always amicable. There was never really anything more than, sometimes there are arguments or what have you when a family's living together and having to share space and time. Yeah. But yeah, I always got along with them very well. And it's very similar now. I feel I have very strong relationships with both of my parents.
So yeah, it hasn't really changed other than just grown with you guys.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Because of course it's changed. It's, as you say, grown with us, that me and my sister are now both adults. The relationship we have with our parents is definitely different, but it also never felt like there was any sudden turning point or anything. It's always been a respectful relationship, and it's just sort of a gradual growing,
That's
changing
cool,
thing huh? as we grew up.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention, you summed up in your most recent blog post titled "Fun is More Important Than Education." In your last line, you said, "Have fun and the learning will take care of itself." And I really loved that because I remember when we first began unschooling, I was always looking for the learning, especially since, my kids were in school for a few years, or at least the eldest one. And that was part of my deschooling process, gaining experience and coming to trust unschooling. But then over time, I realized that the most engaging learning happened consistently when my children were enjoying themselves, when they were having fun. And eventually I stopped looking for the learning altogether and just looked for the fun. So do you see this, as a step that's an essential part of moving to unschooling?
I would say so. I think it's as you're saying, in a de-schooling process, there's often a big emphasis. People are trying to find the learning. Where's the learning? Is the education happening? And whether you call it fun or just living or whatever term you want to use, I do think it's essential. It's an essential part of de-schooling and coming to understand unschooling that you realize that, yeah, it's all sort of part and parcel with each other, that you don't need to look at learning as a separate thing.
Yeah, because, you know, I found, because when you're looking at learning just as learning, you're still kind of stuck in that mindset that learning is more important.
For sure.
Yeah, from your everyday things. So yeah, that's why I found that really important.
Oh, glad.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Now, you haven't gone to college or university, and none of my kids have chosen to do so at this point. So I wanted to talk about that for a moment with you, because even unschooling parents can have a hard time with the idea of their kids not going to college. Now, I know my daughter has probably considered it the most closely so far, but when she looked at some of the photography programs in detail, she saw that she had already learned much of it on her own during her teen years. So when she was interested in finding like-minded community, rather than choosing the structured framework of college, she chose to go and check out New York City.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I see college as a tool, you know, something that someone might choose if it aligns with their goals. See, her goals were to learn more, but because she wasn't seeing that she would be learning more in the college programs that she found around Canada and a couple in the States, you know, she was really looking for to immerse herself with other people, because there weren't that many people around our place that were that keen and interested in photography.
So it's just about finding that community.
Yeah. Well, and because within your community, that's where you're, you know, with people who are just as interested in you.
For
and
sure.
You can learn so much, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel similarly that I sort of see college/university as a tool and as something that can be great for people if it aligns with what they want to do. But the things I've been most interested in have not been anything that would lead me to college. And I've looked a bit over the years, off and on, you know, at writing programs and different things, but it's never seemed to align with the type of stuff that I want to do. And same that I've considered culinary school, but the fast-paced restaurant world is the last place I'd be happy working. So it's just, you know, sort of looking and saying, no, I think I'm can better create the type of opportunities I want outside of an institution right now in my life. And I think it's also sort of an important thing that neither me or my sister see it as, oh, I'm not doing it now, I can never do it. Like, it's not like there's an expiration date. Mm-hmm. So it's just sort of looking and saying, this isn't right for me right now. And if I feel differently in the future, knowing I can always reevaluate that choice.
Yeah, and it's so individual, isn't it? Because I
for
bet,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, there may be some people who are interested in, let's say, the culinary arts, who would find that atmosphere inspiring and engaging.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
for sure.
a fast-paced one, and ones that don't. So I think it's so much more important to focus on the individual and how they learn, what their interests are, whether, you know, this will
for
really
sure.
align with them. Yeah, rather than just saying, you know, I've known, you know, my kids are older now, so they've had friends whose parents have said, you need to get a college degree. I don't care what the program is. You just need to come out with a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, because that's something that that's a level of comfort for the parent, right?
For sure. And
rather,
of course, we both.
Than,
oh, sorry. I was just saying, we both know, of course, that a college degree isn't the guarantee of a job that so many people tend to think it is. Because, I mean, I'm watching now with college graduate friends who are struggling to find work. So I think that too has made a big impact on me, that it's never seemed like, oh, this is some type of guarantee. It's like, this is just one more risk I can or, you know, cannot, that I choose to take or not, just like any other choice.
Yeah, I just finished writing a chapter about this for my book. So it's at the top of mind. And one of the things that is so fascinating is because, you know, our society has changed so much in the last couple of decades, like the pace of change. And I think as parents, you know, sometimes we don't realize how much the world of work even has changed from when we were, because we're looking back at ourselves, you know, when we are graduating high school and into the college years. And that was, you know, quite a few years ago now. So our perspective, you know, the way we're looking at the world really isn't as up to date, you know, and they're not coming out of college now into the same world that we did. We were coming out still where there were, you know, jobs that kind of looked like the classroom, you know, cubicle jobs where you had, you know, your work time, you had your job document to follow, just like the curriculum, you know, and you were comfortable there. But that stuff doesn't really exist anymore. And we're insisting our kids, you know, participate in something that may not be preparing them as well for the way their adult life is going to look.
For sure.
Yeah, I think it's so much nicer to let them, to help them find their way, because they're living in that world now. So they actually have a better idea than we do. Oh. Okay, let's look at this next question here. Okay. Oh, another blog post that you wrote that I loved. There's a few of them there. It's called In Praise of the Unexceptional, because unschooling doesn't have to be impressive. And I was hoping to read a quote from it.
Go ahead.
All right, here we go. The unschooling community doesn't need to fall into that same trap of judging people's success by their productivity or large achievements or traveling lifestyle. Instead, let's just make sure that we convey in all our words, in our speech and writing and advocacy, that all learning is important. We need to celebrate all those quiet lives too. And it's true. Unschooling young adults do things that look impressive from the outside. But the difference that I've seen is that they're doing these things because they want to do them, not because they want to impress others or, you know, do what they've been told or what they think will look impressive. Mm-hmm. But unschooling is definitely not about being a different path to raise a conventionally successful adult, you know, all those conventional goals. How important do you think it is that we revisit our definition of success as we embark on the unschooling journey?
I think it's very important, and I think it's something that you kind of can't help but do. And do again and again, because, there's a lot of pressure to be conventionally successful. And honestly, I do find as a sort of grown unschooler that there is pressure as well to somehow prove unschooling's success by looking impressive. And I don't think it's necessarily a pressure that many unschoolers succumb to, but I think it's something that from discussions I've had with other older unschoolers that a lot of us feel. I think it takes for both parents and us as unschoolers to sort of remind ourselves that, as you said, this isn't about creating either conventionally or unconventionally successful, depending on how you define it. You want a successful life, but it doesn't have to look impressive, or it doesn't have to impress other people. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think, you know, as you see unschooling, I'm not going to say going mainstream, but, you know, being looked at from a wider audience. Mm-hmm. Now I've start to see some comments, you know, as they're saying, colleges and universities are starting to look for homeschoolers and stuff, you know, that you kind of worry that people will say, oh, like, this is going to be a, maybe easier, as in less confrontational way to get their child to that same conventional goal.
For you know? Sure. So, I feel like I've seen the same thing.
Yeah. And then, okay, then I look at it from my perspective now, you know, as I talk about my kids, when I talk about unschooling, right? Mm-hmm. I think so much of it is in the way you frame it and the words you use. Even when they were growing up, when we would visit family and stuff and they would ask me how it was going, I'm going to frame it positively because I'm really happy with the lifestyle, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going, you can, you know, my old, well, I'm sure you feel this too, right? You're 25. My son's be turning to, my eldest will be turning 24 this year. And you both live at home, mm-hmm. right? And conventionally, that can be looked upon negatively, you know?
For sure.
But we don't at all. So when I talk about it, I talk very excited about the fact that Joseph's living with us. And my daughter at 18, she moved out a couple months after she turned 18.
Wow.
And she's just visited home since then. You know, and they both grew up in the same place. That's the whole point.
They're both different people.
So individual, yeah. So I'm happy. I can frame it very positively because I'm very happy with all their different choices because I know they mesh well for them.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure. And I feel similarly. And yeah, and yet you still, like, and it's funny because you say that and I'm like, I still feel that pressure because often mm-hmm. when that comes up, I'm like, yeah, but like I have lots of schooled friends who are my age and who also, you know, live with their parents. So it's like I still find myself wanting to justify those things and always yeah. reminding myself to take a step back and be like, wait a second, I don't have to do that.
Yeah, because if you justify against that, because that's already seen, you know, negatively. Oh, look, they had to go back home and live at their exactly. parents' house. But yeah, no, there's so much positive to it. Anyway, that's a big bug of mine.
Yeah.
You took that idea as well and gave a talk at the Northeast Unschooling Conference in Boston last year. And you posted your talk as a series titled Unexceptionally Exceptional. Mm-hmm. And just for listeners, I'll link to that in the show notes so you can read it. Because there's such cultural pressure to be demonstrably, there we go, productive, and attain conventional success, that those messages are unavoidable. And even though as part of my unschooling journey, I came to deeply value the quiet times and the small everyday moments in our lives just as much as I did the bigger ones, that's also a journey our children need to make on their own. It's not something we can just tell them. So I've had lots of conversations about it with my kids over the years. And similarly to the conversation we were just having, can you share a bit about your journey to seeing past the conventional noise to finding the profound value in downtime and in being true to yourself?
Yeah, and I think it's actually one of these things that it's easy to feel confident about unschooling when things are going as well as they can be, you know, when everyone's getting along, when everyone's productive, when things are going great. And I think what really pushes you, or really has pushed me to value the quiet moments and the, I guess, the richness of a quieter life, maybe I'll say, has been the more difficult times, as I discuss in that speech. It's when things are harder, when things maybe aren't going the way you want them to, or, you know, there are difficulties in life that I think have forced me to really, yeah, find that sort of quiet space and just take a step back and realize that it's okay to, you know, to not be where I envision myself being, or it's okay that this is taking me longer than I thought, that it's okay when things aren't going, you know, aren't going the way I'd imagined them. And to really value those lovely little moments of everyday life that really sort of, I guess, make your life a more positive experience as a whole. I don't know. I don't know how to put this.
Yeah. Well, and they help you discover yourself, right?
For sure.
You know, you understand yourself so much better.
Oh, yeah.
I think one of the big things, you know, that I think now as I look back in our conversations is because now when I talk to my kids, when they're going through a low moment, they know there's another side to it.
For sure.
They know that, you know, this is not failure. This is not forever. This is part of the process because they've been, you know, had the freedom and the quiet time to become self-aware. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That they notice those times. So they know that things go up and down and up and down. And they've even seen sometimes when they go back up that you realize you're not losing things. That time isn't lost, right?
Yeah.
That when things are looking back up, they're looking back up from a deeper spot because you've actually picked stuff up along the way, even though it didn't feel like it when you were down, right?
For sure. And and that sign in that talk I was really sort of forced me to explore in words when I was writing it, just thinking about that. And yeah, because this came out of a really, really difficult year. And it's looking back and realizing, yeah, how much I'd grown as a person and just how much had changed, even when it felt like things weren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even when you're feeling stagnant.
For sure, that a lot's still happening.
Now, you've talked online a bit about your challenges with depression, and I definitely feel for you as my husband lives with this as well. Do you think the perspective on living and learning that you've developed through growing up unschooling, that deeper level of self-awareness we were talking about and understanding how you tick, helps you through those times?
I definitely feel it helps because for me, depression is kind of an offshoot of anxiety. That's sort of the main thing I've dealt with since I was very young. And I don't know, I always kind of jokingly have said that, you know, the fact I was unschooled, I think I'm less of a basket case than I would have been otherwise. Mm-hmm. And just that I do feel that for sure with learning to manage my anxiety, that being able to push myself as much as I was able to and to really sort of retreat into myself and take myself away from, you know, really stressful situations when I needed to, like that made such a difference that I had that control. With depression, it's a little bit harder for me to maybe pinpoint, how growing up the way I did has helped. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of these things that's difficult no matter what your background and will always be a struggle. But it is true that being able to, I don't know, being used to finding the joy in even difficult situations that I've sort of tried to cultivate that is always helpful in more difficult periods.
Mm-hmm. And I think your point about feeling in control is really helpful too, right?
For sure.
Yeah. Because you with that time, you've managed to understand yourself better. That having the control to even, you know, if it doesn't work out as, you know, different tools or things you try to do to work through your anxieties and those moments, even if they don't work out, you're still disposed to learning from them.
For
you know
sure.
what I mean? Not seeing them as failures,
no.
but as another piece of information, right?
For sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. When you look back over your childhood, can you see a thread or two that weaves through your interests over the years? A common theme that is uniquely itsy, even if those interests themselves varied widely.
I think for me, and I mean, this is true to some extent for everyone, I think, but for me especially, things have always had to feel immediately relevant to my life or to people close to me. If something seemed too abstract, it was never able to capture my interest. So I think that scene in like most of what I focused on has been things that I can create, you know, over the years it's changed, whether it's gardening or cooking or, you know, all different things. It's always been things that tend to be more hands-on or just things that I'm able to create and do and make something of it. I'm not really someone who's ever enjoyed, you know, reading big books about philosophy or being more into academic stuff, which I've always found kind of funny because my sister is I joke that she's the cultured one. She's super into Shakespeare and she's an amateur Arthurian scholar and she's, you know, always getting her friends who have a university library card to take out books for her. And, you know, she's really into a lot of different, I don't know, I guess I could say denser material. But yeah, I really like things that feel really tactile and yeah,
and that relate to your everyday.
Exactly. Yeah. Things that I can put into practice every day and I can make a part of my life in a really hands-on way.
Yeah. Oh, and I think that's so awesome. You know, like, again, you guys growing up in the same house, isn't it amazing how individual people are? So different.
For sure.
Yeah. But you know, the same openness to life, it doesn't matter. You support either way, whatever way works for. Yeah, it's beautiful. Okay, our last question. As someone who's grown up unschooling, is there a piece of advice you could share with unschooling parents who are just starting out on this journey?
Oh, I guess I guess I'd probably want to go back to what we were talking about earlier about how, you know, learning is in the fun, to maybe stop being so attached to looking for learning and to just focus on paying attention to what's actually happening, to the joy, to the exploration, to the struggle, to whatever it is. Just pay attention to what's happening instead of trying to assign learning to things or create sort of artificial learning moments, to just focus on you know, on yourself and your kids and your lives and just try and share a rich life together. And that's where the learning really happens.
That's beautiful. Yep, that's exactly it. It's hard though, isn't it? You know, when you first start, because you're still so worried about, you know, childhood is so inextricably linked to learning in society's mind, right? So that's a huge piece for them to give up.
It is. And I think even years later, like, there can be moments of doubt and moments of, is this right? And moments where you kind of want to grab on to things that look traditionally educational and productive. And I think that's something that you never completely stop fearing, but just to be moving in that direction of letting go of these sort of expectations.
And looking at your kids, right?
Very much so. Or yourself. Yeah. It works just as well when it comes to looking at yourself.
Yeah, as long as you cleared that luggage away and you aren't judging yourself.
yes. Oh, for sure. But that's what I mean. Giving yourself the same. Look at what you're actually doing, what's actually happening, instead of having these unfair expectations of yourself or of your children.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point. Great point. Thank you very much, Itzy. It has been a lot of fun speaking with you. I was wondering if you would share the best place for people to find you online.
Yes, the best place is my blog, as we mentioned earlier. I'm unschooled, yes, I can write, which, though I could spell it the address, it's probably just easier to Google Itzy and unschooling and you will find it.
And I'll put a link in the show notes too.
There we go. So that's the best place to find me. And there's contact information as well, though I admit I'm not always very good at getting back to people.
Give Itzy time to reply.
That's there it.
All right. Thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Oh, it was lovely talking to you.
Yay! Have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes at livingjoyfully.ca/podcast. You can also get your free Exploring Unschooling ebook at livingjoyfully.ca/exploring-unschooling. If you'd like to connect, you can also find me on Facebook at Living Joyfully. Until next time, have fun living and learning with your family.